Greetings and good evening to another episode of Afrolog. I'm here with some wonderful guests today. We have some wonderful topics to discuss. Today we're going to be talking about Nigeria and Omoyele Sowore, who is an activist and journalist. And we'll also be talking about him and the Nigerian social media bill, which has raised some controversy in the country recently. Some fantastic guests, please quickly introduce yourselves.
Hi, it's Athena.
My name is Dearest.
And my name's Rashid.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so let's kick this off.
Dearest, for those that haven't heard you before, like, where are you from?
I'm speaking with the guys over here before you came. Mm-hmm. I'm Dearest Odubu, Nigerian youth. I'm not at least Nigerian youth, though, as Buhari said. So, from Nigeria, down south of the state. Been living in England for a couple of years now, second and third degree over here. So, yeah. That's about it. I run a blog, The Purple Gents, if you want to go check that out. Okay. Yeah, the menswear content creation platform.
So Christmas presents, people can go.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to give me Christmas presents, yes.
No, I meant for the other half now, the inspiration from your blog.
I don't understand what you said. Can you translate it to Hebrew? Maybe I understand what you said.
I said fine.
Yeah, so yeah, that's who I am.
Like it.
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. So, this Sowore incident has been very talked about recently. Mm. So for anybody who doesn't know, Omoyele Sowore is he started out anyway as a journalist, and he began a company called Sahara Reporters, and he has a reputation for challenging politicians and challenging leaders and the government about their activities, their corrupt and immoral activities in other ways. He stood as a candidate in the Nigerian 2019 election, yeah. And wasn't successful in being elected for obvious reasons. A few weeks ago, he was arrested for inciting a riot. He made some comments online that Nigerians have to come out and stand up for themselves, and he basically called for revolution. And he was arrested following that, and then there were lots of videos circling online about him with him being grabbed from his
that
office.
That was him being rearrested. Because he was arrested and then he was granted bail. And his bail had to meet some certain conditions, which one of them was not to speak to the press. But after he was granted bail, he spoke to the press, and then the state security services were deployed to go pick him up again in a very inhumane way. So while he was in the court, you know, they came in and arrested the court and started literally strangle this young man, and then trying to drag him out, you know, out into the vans and take him back to prison. So which defeats all, like, and this was in the court. Judge had
so just to be clear, the first time he was arrested from his office, and then he was rearrested from court.
I think they drove to his home or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the second time he was grabbed in court.
In court, okay. Yes. And then he actually wasn't inciting violence. What he was doing, he organized a session of marches and protests. But the name of those marches, the center point of the marches was termed Revolution Now. Mm-hmm. So the government then interpreted that, you know, to mean that he wanted to overthrow the current government. So that was why they moved to actually arrest him, because they said he was inciting violence, which threatened national security. But he basically, you know, and anything apart from the word revolution that was spoken, nothing he mentioned nothing else to
he didn't insult the president.
He mentioned nothing else to indicate that he wanted to overthrow the government. Okay. He basically just said that the marches are going to be called Revolution Now, and that Nigerians should come out, you know, and speak against the ills that are going on in the country, because he believed that, which was kind of very obvious, that the 2019 elections were not credible. You know, there were cases of violence and, you know, voter suppression and ballot box stealing and a lot of stuff. Actually, and this was very done in the open. I mean, the video is still online, you know, during the election process, showing the incredibility of these elections. So he came and spoke, you know, against those, and that was why he was arrested, basically. So he was the name of the protest and the marches was called Revolution Now, and that was the only mention of the word revolution. Nothing else around the topic indicated that he wanted to overthrow the government.
Yeah, but when you title your movement Revolution Now, you become open to that kind of criticism.
Especially with our fragile leaders, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it depends on what you term as a revolution. Revolution basically means a change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it means a change. Like you and it might not be violent. A change just means like, you scrap out the old, introduce the new. Mm. That's basically what a revolution basically means. It's not necessarily violent. So yeah, so when you say revolution, it just means change. Change is required. Change is needed for Nigerians to get to where we need to be. And that's what he said, and then the government interpreted that, and that even bringing in the social media bill. I don't know if you want to do that now. So aspects of the bill basically just stipulate that there are some words, that they will term. There's a statement from them. Let me just check. They basically said okay, so words that are. When you make statements that diminish public confidence, so that's very vague, so statements that diminish public confidence, and so you'll be liable to receive the repercussions under the bill. And basically I think the bill was basically introduced to stifle the voice of Nigerians speaking, because basically social media is the only platform right now people have to voice out their opinions of government's actions and inactions. So I guess so this was kind of like obviously very hinged on what Sowore did, just saying that, taking that word revolution and taking it out of context to mean that he was inciting violence.
But going back to Sowore, his arrest, the crazy thing to me was the fact that he was granted bail. So he was firstly arrested from the Home Office, and then he had the videos online, and the judge actually granted him bail, but for technical reasons he wasn't actually bailed. Is that right?
No, he was granted bail and he was free. Basically, he was taken out of prison, and he was basically like a free man again, but not necessarily free, but because he still has to be tried.
So he went home.
No,
so
he wasn't allowed to go home.
Right.
So, after the court ruling, I guess, when it was just being announced that he had been granted bail, and that he was out of prison. This was after spending about 100, how many days in prison? Up to, I think I'm not sure, but up to 100 and something days in prison, I think. So he was granted bail, and then, we heard news that the State Secret Service were bundling him up again, arrested him in court. But according to them, it was because So Sowore was arrested, and of course we've spoken about the conditions around surrounding his arrest. He was, to me, taken out of context, mean that he was inciting violence, which I don't think he was. The term revolution is very it's very hinged on the ideas of change. Like you basically want to change right out with the old, in with the new. He was largely taken out of context to mean that the government took him out of context to mean that he wanted to overthrow the current government of the day, and he was inciting violent riots. Meanwhile, he was just organizing marches and protests, surrounding the fact that the elections, the 2019 elections, were not credible, and that he wanted something to be done about that. And yeah, so he was arrested because he voiced out those opinions. And he's a journalist, of course, which one of our inalienable human rights is the right to free speech. Mm-hmm. And everyone has free course to do that. He was arrested, granted bail. But one of the conditions of bail was that he wasn't meant to speak to press. But he did that because the circumstances surrounding his arrest was very controversial. So he wanted to speak on it. So he did, and then he was rearrested while he was in court. And everyone, it's basically just a very violent outburst. The judge ran for her life.
The judge's life was under threat.
Because it was a very violent outburst. They were trying to pull him out of the court, and people were trying to stop the DS.
Okay.
There was a lawyer that hit him. A lawyer that hit him as well. And there's been a social media thing to try to find him and basically ruin his life.
Really?
Yep. There was a lawyer. Because it's ridiculous. You're supposed to be upholding the law. Your business with how people are reacting should not. You shouldn't be a partaker of that at all. And
We're all very dramatic.
Yeah, it sounds very dramatic. I don't want to play down what he did, I think to me it was clear that he was calling for a revolution, which means a change in government, right? And not just a change in government, a change in the social fabric of Nigeria. I think that's true, but I don't think that's anything. There's anything wrong with that, and I don't think that he should be imprisoned for that.
So yeah, what exactly did he do? What exactly was he charged to court for? I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, so basically he was organizing a series of marches and protests.
That was
there something about treason?
Yeah, they mentioned that. So, you know, it's just a kind of textbook dictatorial, like nationalistic language that they throw in anytime.
So all he did was basically organize a series of protests and marches and termed the protest revolution now.
Okay.
So that was basically all he did. So
yeah, but we have to say that that's what he's calling for.
No, but and we have to agree that history has shown us revolution does come with a little bit of violence. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that he was I'm not saying he was inciting violence, but in history, you know, with change comes a little bit of, you know.
The fact that you Gandhi? Use that term, the fact that you use that term alone
oh,
just kind
that
of
pedophile.
Identifies the sort of change that he's looking for anyway. Like when you use revolution in history, going back, term revolution has always been something that's been, as you said.
Yeah, you're overturning.
Exactly.
To get rid of the big wigs, get rid of old guys. I'm sorry, but one or two cars need to be turned over.
Exactly. So
okay, but then
Gandhi. I'm just saying Gandhi didn't turn over any cars. I'm just saying maybe
because
what did he do? Look at India right now. Girls are being stuffed into tires and burned. Okay, please. Like, I'm sorry.
Okay. The term revolution largely, you know, just indicates change, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A change of the status quo.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily skew towards violent means to ascertain that change.
Mm-hmm.
But like you could sort of read into it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the Nigerian government are right in what they have done, but it's depending on how the law and the constitution is set up, which I don't fully know, you can almost read anything into it, can't you? It's the same thing that's going on if we move on from this sort of to the social media bill, which is kind of born out of this whole situation with Showore. Is the fact that, like, if you look at the definition of what they say, anything that, you know, anything that creates some kind of lack of confidence within from the public.
There's a term that is used, that diminishes public confidence.
Exactly. Mm.
Which
public
is ridiculous.
And which is absolutely
which is ridiculous.
Even, yeah, read
Africans
into.
You're not really that confident in your leaders.
Anyway.
That's why they're so fragile. Because they know, I'm not confident about this dude.
Exactly. So if you put it that way, if you have a law like that, I don't know what the constitution actually looks like. So when you say something like revolution, who knows? They can try and read whatever it is into it, like they've done with treason.
You know, in Tanzania, some comedian literally was just arrested just for making a joke on Instagram about our president. That's how like fragile some African leaders are, that you can't even
say
joke
his name.
About
say, say his name.
Well, the comedian,
the president, and the comedian.
Me, I'm not trying to get Mike Woolley to come after me, please. I'm trying to go home and build stuff. Okay, I need this guy on my side.
Well, yeah, that's a general like disposition of African leaders. So that has been for a long time, because we kind of like, you know, when you talk about African democracy, it's been like it's had a lot of street bumps, for lack of a better word, because you know, we've had democracy for like 2 years, then before there's going to be like a military coup, and then so there's kind of like blurred lines between what is democratic and what is, you know, there's a blurred line between towing democracy and military rule. So just like someone like Buhari, for example, who was a military ruler. And like I said, I'm not trying to get arrested for this one. This isn't his speech.
Your ass is about to be in the capital real soon. You're going to be seeing Buhari in a minute.
This isn't his speech. I have to reiterate, this isn't his speech. This is just me exercising my free course to, you know, free speech. So, so just like Buhari, who was, and his part of his 2015 campaign, I was just talking to Rashid about it before we started recording. Part of his 2015 campaign was surrounded around the fact that he no longer held military ideals, that he was now a reformed Democrat. Mm. So that actually propelled a lot of young people to vote for him. You know, so which can be argued anyway. So it propelled a lot of young people to actually vote for him. But still, no, we are seeing these days where he doesn't obey court sanctions.
Mm.
He doesn't obey. How about 4 court sanctions, you know, were made concerning the lives of about one individual who was a Militiala leader, El Zak Zaki. So he was given a sanction from the court to order his release, but he didn't heed to that. And so basically we have a president who can be checked by the judiciary, who can be checked by the legislature. So basically that's a dictator.
Yeah, essentially. And what do you guys think about the social media bill that is it's currently in the third stage of the bill being in the Senate? Yeah. Just to say, like, the gender equality bill was thrown out after the first stage, but the social media bill is currently in its third stage, and I don't know how many more stages it needs to go through.
One more stage. So it goes through first reading, second reading, and third reading that is passed into law.
Right. This is really disgusting. It's really disgusting because, for example, because it's received worldwide condemn. Okay, maybe not worldwide, because I haven't actually seen the rest of the world, Western world talking about it much. But
American senators have commented on this.
But then the African Union has said, actually, you can't put this law into power because, first of all, it goes against your constitution. So even if you did pass the bill, it's already illegal. Yeah. It can never be. But then Nigeria and Buhari, it's just like, at this point, anything that Buhari wants to happen just happens, and it's just kind of disgusting.
The law says that you can cyberstalk the president by going on TV and saying false things about him that cause enmity or ill will. So that gives you an idea of kind of how wide-ranging the law is. And I'm glad that Dearest made that point earlier about the line between democratic government and military rule, because the argument is there. Governments have to have a means of ensuring their own stability, right? So there has to be some form of legislation that tries to protect that. And I think in this case, the government has gone too far. Normally, I'm supporting Buhari. I think that it's true that he has a very difficult job and that he's tried his best to, at least in the area of corruption.
No, because all the people that they've arrested regarding this corruption issue, nobody's actually in prison.
Yeah, but they've been returning money.
This is from before Buhari came into.
Exactly.
Good. And they should continue. But it's just
so hold on, right? Okay, so you've been following Nigerian news since Buhari came to power, right? Have you?
Periodically,
okay. You said, okay. Okay, you put forward the argument that he's done a good job as regards fighting corruption.
I think that we'll see whether he's done a good job at the end of his term.
You can judge a president's actions, or inactions while they're still in power. Okay, I'll just give one example. Because what Oyin was mentioning as well, which I'll try to finish. She was saying that the people who have been targeted, economic fraud, fraudulent activities, while in public office, have largely just been people who are from the opponent camp. So, and they are people who have been targeted. And then people but people who have been, literally caught on camera, like the current governor of Kano State, who were literally caught on camera stuffing, wads of dollar notes into his agbada. Pockets. He was literally caught on camera, and it was the whole entire scandal. He was caught on camera doing that, and the news broke out. The president was aware of it. Everyone was aware of it.
But nothing was done to him.
Nothing was done. In fact, the next month he was given an award of the best governor in Nigeria.
But was that Buhari's decision to give him that?
Probably literally handed him the award.
Yeah, but it's Buhari's decision. This is the point. This is the point, right? I don't want to sidetrack too much, but it's very difficult to kind of do these things. These people are monkeys who
monkeys.
In terms of character, they're monkeys who
he sounds very British,
who have a vested interest in not. In being able to kind of continue playing the game that the way they are. So sometimes we look at the presidency and we criticize the presidency for not getting certain things done, when the senators that are elected to the office that you're supposed to be trying to reform are trying to fight against you. People in the office of the vice president don't agree with what you're doing. The judges, so it's not as if that this is an easy thing to reform.
I think you're
and the people says, and no, a lot.
Nobody's saying it's an easy job.
No, okay, cool. Okay,
but we're
cool.
saying, can you follow the rule of law?
Yes.
Can you let the courts do their job, and can you ensure that the sanctions of the courts are upheld?
But that's the argument I'm making. I think, hold on. I think in general, I think that's true. I think, like, for example, this social media law is an example of, that is not law yet, but I think this bill is an example of a kind of textbook nationalism, and if it's passed into law, it's an example of Nigeria being kind of out of control. And this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that I have an issue with. I'm just saying this is an example of the bad governance that you guys are criticizing Buhari for. I don't think he deserves some of that criticism when it comes to the area of anti-corruption.
I think you're mistaking Nigeria for, you know, a democratic society.
but that's what I'm not mistaking Nigeria for. Because in a democratic society, the president would have more power to actually implement his own agenda.
No.
Yeah, of course he would.
In a democratic society, right, the government of the day has an opposition. And they have different people who have different, you know, opinions on what should be the order of the day, what should be the rule, you know, of the day. And despite of the fact that the president has party members, in parliament who might support whatever bill he's trying to introduce or whatever, you know, law he's trying to sign into power, you know, then there are going to be arguments for and against it. That's how democracy works, right? For and against. You state, you know, your reasons for being opposed to the law. This president state his reason. So right. But then, you know, when it comes to Nigeria, right, you're mentioning something. You said that the president is trying to do something, but then there are people acting against him, very powerful elected officials acting. But then that is exactly how democracy is supposed to work. You aren't supposed to have free.
No, that's different.
That's a military regime. You just think, okay, this is what I want to occur, and then everyone just say, yes, we agree, oh Lord and ruler, and then pass it across. That's a military regime. Yeah, exactly what you say goes. That's not democracy.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when there are people who are acting outside of the law, right, there are people who are elected officials who are doing their best so that they can continue acting outside of the law. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to oppose, but in well-functioning democratic systems, as we understand them,
Nigeria
they oppose within the law.
System.
Well, exactly, that's the point I'm making. That's why it's harder for him to implement this agenda that I think he has.
We're sidetracking.
Is it?
Yes, but it's still within the context of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we should, let's just bring it back in. And basically the main point, right, is on the issue of the fact that Sowore has been rearrested, which is just against the rule of law. Although there's a claim that he also broke the terms of his bail. And there's also the fact that Buhari as a president is problematic in the sense that, that's my favorite word. And in the sense that, like, fam, he's allowed people to go against the rulings of the courts. And he's also overstepped his powers, appointing a CJN, which should never have been within his powers.
What's a CJN?
The Chief Justice.
Chief Justice.
So he's basically appointing who govern the judiciary, mm-hmm. which is like, you shouldn't do that in a democratic society. Mm-hmm.
I heard that sometimes these processes don't work. Like, I'll give you an example. When Obama was criticized for making those executive orders towards the end of the presidency about the Dreamers and some of the immigrants, they said, you can't just make an executive order about X, Y, and Z. But when the bills were launched, these people shut down Congress and so on and so forth. So sometimes things like that are in response to, like, if you were to be a crook, if the system is not working the way the system should be working, sometimes the president is going to have to intervene in such ways.
But then the difference is Obama was doing that towards the end of his term when he would no longer be accountable to the American people. And the difference is Buhari...
That's not a good thing.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's the point. Mm-hmm. But right now, Buhari is still in power and he's in power for the next 4 years and should be accountable to the people and should never have done that. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. And
I think... Yeah, okay.
I think everyone is still like mistaking Nigeria for a for a country that practices democratic ideals. Nigeria is a very complex place, right? So,
but so that's what I'm saying. How can we criticize the president basis? Yeah. If the system is not functioning, then why do we criticize him for not being able to?
So because he okay. This is I'm not saying the or I'm not saying I have proof of anything I'm going to say. This is just largely public opinion, right? So I have to state that disclaimer. So because, you know, he himself is playing into the, you know, dysfunction. You get right? Because, for example, take the 2019 elections. There was largely, voters were largely suppressed. And a lot of people, a lot of, you know, political thugs in quotes, came from the camp, you know, of the APC to actually stop people from voting. There were a lot of, like, electoral malpractices, violence of people being killed, you know, instances of people being killed, you know, and all. There's a lot of, you know, electoral malpractice and instances of people being killed, voter suppression, and a lot of these people were accused of, you know, coming from the APC camp, which is the Buhari's party. So you can see that, you know, like both players, like Nigeria itself is a very complex place where, you know, because of the rooted dysfunction, mm-hmm. nothing else works,
including the presidency who
right. plays into the dysfunction.
Right, that's fine.
But there's no excuse, because if you signed up to be a democratic president, you have to answer to democratic ideals, principles. Yeah. And I think
I disagree. I don't disagree with that. You have to try and do things according to the constitution.
Yeah.
Right. All I'm saying is that let's for one moment imagine that I'm right and Buhari is trying to forward a positive agenda and he is trying to root out some of this corruption, right? If that is the case, and there are those within administration and within elected office that are acting against him, should he not try and find those solutions which go outside of normal procedure to get them done? Or should he just say, I can't do anything and just sit down like that?
And then let's for one second pretend that your uncle just got dragged from court and your mum hasn't eaten because he's now been in prison. Come on, man. You're going to just sit there and say like, oh, he gave the orders. He's trying to do a good thing. Human rights. The guy got...
No, I'm not supporting... infringements of human rights. I'm just saying, if we're going to say that,
his mum is pleading for him to be released, so she can't eat. Like, I don't
which
know
is that. Which is why I don't like the bill, and I don't like what's happened to Shorewe. For the listeners, it's a weird thing. I bumped into Mr. Shorewe after the election in London and spoke to him about the campaign and some of the things he was doing. So I'm actually a fan. So I'm not trying to justify the bill or the detention at all. I think it's ridiculous. Okay. What I am saying is that in these situations, I think I just struggle criticizing the president when we acknowledge that the system isn't working and we say, why can't the president use things that we need the system to work for? That's my argument.
Okay.
I don't think we should go back because I feel like we will be here for a while. And I think we'll just leave this topic here. Like, we'll actually just have to leave it here. We can continue.
Oh, can I just say one more thing?
Well, how short is it going to be? It's like 2 seconds, bam. Like
2 seconds. Okay, so yeah. So if we're talking about the dysfunction of the system, we're trying to build a healthier society. Mm-hmm. Are we going to now play into the dysfunction or strive for better?
That's a valid point.
But the system isn't working.
So, but then,
but no, but I mean, I just think it's a useful. Rule of law has already gone out of the window. The rule
so
of
we law should continue.
So you should continue going out of the window.
Oh my God!
Well, that, no.
A full-on African leader. No. You can come and rule Tanzania.
No, I'm just saying that. Okay. What's the counter argument? I'm saying if it is the case, right, that he is trying to forward this positive agenda, and the system isn't working, what should he do?
I think what he should do is to set an example, okay? And I think every African leader out there needs to be setting examples with their reign and say that, okay, if you've signed up to these democratic principles, then let me actually try and apply one of it.
No, but you're, one that of doesn't, it being that doesn't answer
respect
the
for the freaking rule of law.
That doesn't answer the question. That doesn't answer the question. So, for example, so he's appointed the governor of the CGN, right?
Yeah, the Chief Justice of Nigeria.
Okay. And constitutionally, he's not supposed to do that.
No, he is. Because actually, the constitution actually gives the Nigerian president way too many powers that, you know.
Okay, so he does have the power to do that.
He does have the power to do that.
Okay.
But it shouldn't be so.
Okay, fine. Like, we can say that's an overreach. But then, if he has the constitutional power to do that, then.
There was no emergency situation that he needed to use that power for.
Okay, so you see the difference, right? If he does have the option under the constitution to do it, mm-hmm. and he's tried to do it X way, we don't know this, but let's assume that he's the good guy here, and he's tried to do it. But this is the argument. I want to answer the question. Rashid hasn't said anything. No, should the president say, I can't do anything, my hands are tied, the system's not working, people are not doing, or should he try and find alternative ways to do it? It's not really about the rule of law in that sense.
If it's within his power and he's able to go another way, then
right.
If nothing else is working, then he should. As long as it's within...
There's a difference between bending the constitution and breaking it.
Yeah, and this is clearly a breach.
No, that's true.
This is clearly a breach. We are talking about...
Wait, what's a breach?
We are talking about the arrest of Wole Sowore, mm-hmm. And all the circumstances surrounding it. You know, it's clearly a violation of human rights. And if it could be Sowore tomorrow, yesterday, today, it could be somebody else.
And other countries as well. From the time we always meet up and we're always saying something happened here, and then there's another story of it happening, like, in a country right next door. The whole continent, I'm sorry, like, these things just can't keep happening all the time.
The whole continent needs to be put inside rice. And I think on that note... on that note, we will end this podcast here. Thank you so much for listening to us. And if you want to lend a hand to the current campaign for Sowore's release, there's a lot of material online. And also, please join Nigeria to campaign against the social media bill because it's infringing.
If you are Nigerian and you live in Nigeria, call your senators and tell them that... you're in standing opposition to the bill, you know, apply some pressure.
I want to believe that, unlike the rest of the Western world, that Africans can actually maybe sometimes do things that are against the grain in a positive way rather than a negative way. So we'll just leave it at that today.
If we saw this kind of bill come out in China, we'd all say, oh, look at the oppressive Chinese government.
Of course.
You know, so this is happening, you know,
Yeah, definitely. And if it's happening in Nigeria today, heck, it could happen in Sudan tomorrow. It can happen in Burundi. Some of it is already happening. Egypt. Have you looked at their social media laws? It's pretty tight.
What are the consequences when the African Union, you know,
has condemned it?
Well, yeah, I mean, what are the consequences? Let's say, like, the government puts it through. What are the consequences when the African Union turn up and say, hey, look, you can't do this?
I mean, I don't know what the consequences are. I have to look into that. But I know that the African Union has publicly condemned it. And they've pointed out the reasons why within our own laws, that law cannot actually come into play. So I think there could be effects. For example, you know, there's the African Free Trade area that's been put into place. So there could be consequences for Nigeria along those lines. And actually, I would support those consequences just because at this point, Nigeria can't keep continuing with the free reign with the way the government is going.
What's this about closing borders and chickens?
Buhari has also closed borders. But
why are you guys laughing at me?
I think we really need to leave the. We should leave this here because it's gonna go on for a while.
Okay.
I think we should address that one point.
The border question.
Because we're talking about Nigeria, we've only got.
Okay, we'll give it another 3 minutes.
No, that was my question.
Oh. Yeah. So basically, right? There's been like a whole. Do you want to speak on this? Okay.
I think you should.
Yeah. So I mean. from what I've heard, I think there was like a restriction on the borders on what you can bring in, which includes rice and some other things. And when I was coming, actually...
And again, to Dami's point, is this a direct order from Buhari or was this?
That I don't know. I just I only found out about it when I was trying to cross the border into Nigeria.
And what were you trying to smuggle in, Rashid?
Myself.
Hold on, hold on, wait. So
just to be clear, he isn't an immigrant, by the way. He's not.
So what? Is there no visa-free travel between?
There is currently.
So why
actually
did you have to smuggle yourself? So
no, he was joking, saying.
Oh, okay. Oh, we just tried to do some banter on the show.
No, basically, as I was coming, I mean, one of the guys on the bikes was like, you know, they've closed the border, so you have to find another way through. So there is actually, you have to actually find another way through.
But
if you're not there in time.
What do you mean?
Human being. So I think they closed the borders, I think it was, what time was it? Like 6 o'clock or something, or 6 p.m. now, to prevent movement of foods like that. And on the way there, there's like 101 stops, police, customs, and I can't remember what the third one is. Three different like people, but you like millions of stops, like, honestly, on your way there. And they check your car for like rice and food stuffs like that to kind of prevent the importation. Because apparently a lot of people go to other countries to bring the food in.
Yeah, they do.
Is it cheaper that way?
I think so. I'm not sure what the reason is, because
you can't blame people for going to Benin or to Togo to bring rice or chicken into the country, because at the end of the day, whenever you say buy the naira to grow the naira, Nigerian stuff is expensive because we don't have enough of the manufacturing infrastructure and the commodities that we actually need to manufacture. We have the commodities. We don't have the infrastructure to manufacture it in a cost-effective way that will make it not necessary for people to want to go abroad to buy things. And I think it's just really stupid because they're trying to promote the domestic markets for rice, for chickens and stuff, which is all great stuff. But you do that after you already have made sure that your production is, you know, solid, like... Because at this rate, people are running out of rice, of course, because there's not enough Nigerian-produced rice to go around 200 million people.
And the one that there is expensive.
It's expensive or subpar quality.
Yeah,
or
there's been talks of it being subpar.
Exactly. So it's like, Buhari, yes, you want to make sure that people buy Nigeria. Why don't you invest in our infrastructure? And the one state alone in Nigeria owes millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in loans to the IMF. Just one state. I think it was Kwara State. It was like a ridiculous number. But here we are. We keep borrowing money and we don't see the effects of that money in the country. Where is this money going? Where is the infrastructure that's being built? Like, it's just a mess, really. And then you're closing up the borders. It's not just... I had a friend who actually was stuck at the Benin border for almost the whole day, all because his taxi driver put rice in the tires.
Yeah. In the tires.
In the tires of the car. And it's like...
Why did he do that, though?
The taxi driver, yes, was very stupid and should have not done that. But at the end of the day, like, people need to survive in one way or the other. Like, what are you going to do about that?
Mm.
You know, like...
And we'll address what we're going to do about that in the next segment.
No, we're not. But yeah, thank you so much for kicking it with us, guys.
Follow
us on Twitter and Instagram at Afrolog Podcast. It's coming up to Christmas now, and we hope that you guys have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year if you don't hear from us before then, but yeah, in advance. So,
and then send us a gift. Specifically,
and someone for a New Year's party. Thank you.
I will be partying in GH, baby. Anywho, I'm gonna leave it there. So, thank you very much. This is Afrolog.